Amen. Like I was saying earlier, welcome here. I'm glad to have you here this morning. I love to stop singing and just listen to you guys. And wow, you sound wonderful. It's such a joy to be here and to get to worship and do all of this together. A couple weeks ago, I mentioned bug bites and attempting to get more fish bites than bug bites is like a challenge. I pretty well relegated the fact that's not possible. Can't do it. Yeah, kids ask some really good questions, and I'm going to see if you can help me to answer for my kids. But they said, Dad, if God created everything, you know, the humans and the animals and the bugs, why did he create black flies? Like, I don't know. Ask the congregation, because I have no idea. Wow. Yeah, they're going pretty good, but I heard the heat kind of drives them away. Is that? No? Nothing drives them away? All right. Yep. Well, yeah, pretty soon it'll be 30 below, and we won't have to worry about them. So either way, right now we don't need any firewood. I mean, unless you have like a little campfire outside, but as far as internal heat, no firewood necessary. But several months ago, we needed some firewood. And so I did what every logical person does, and you go to What's Up Ely, and you Google like firewood or whatever and came across a conversation. It was pretty interesting the way this person, I think they were new to town, and they were looking for some firewood. And so they asked the question, I'm going to paraphrase, something like, you know, we need some firewood, new to town. Does anyone have, and then in quotes, a guy? Does anyone have a guy to call for a source, in this case, of firewood? And we've all seen that before. You know, my truck needs brakes, and you know, if you got a guy that you know that you'll trust to do, you know, your brakes or plumbing or electrical work or whatever, but a guy, in quotes, that guy. And I think the lesson there is that all of us need a guy. And in fact, we need, and I'm not being sexist, it could be a girl, it's the quote, so blame Facebook and whoever said that back then. But anyway, we all need a guy. We need, in fact, multiple guys for life. We need a source in our life for the different needs that we come across, whether it's electrical or plumbing or lawn care or whatever. But for you and I, having a reliable source for life's needs, I think, is vital. Knowing someone that we can turn to, knowing someone, a guy that we can trust to meet these needs. Having a guy in our life like that, or a series of guys, gives us confidence. It gives us peace of mind because we know who to turn to when we're in need. We know who to trust when we are in need. Confidence and peace come from having a guy. Now, we've just completed a long, very detailed series called You Can Handle the Truth, and we looked at so many things together, but what we really, really needed to take away from that series was who our God is, exactly how good and how great and wonderful our God is. Also, who we are in our desperate need for a Savior, and that Savior is absolutely, all-inclusively Jesus the Christ. He's the Messiah. We learned what Jesus did for us. We learned then some of our roles and responsibilities and what we're supposed to do for Him because of who He is and because of what He has done for us. And today, we're in the book of Psalms, and we're in Psalm 18. By the way, it's a book, plural, full of psalms, and we look at one psalm at a time. You never put the S on there. That's a good one to know. So we are in the book of Psalm 18 here today. But this is an amazing example for you and I to look at David. He wrote the majority of the psalms, praise and worship, confession and repentance, songs of deliverance, songs of who our God is. Beautiful and marvelous. And this is an awesome example of David being delivered and just celebrating who God is. And I think that all of us can glean some really cool stuff from Psalm 18. Now, that's going to be a minute on the scripture. I got to set the stage first. There's so much going on in Psalm 18. In fact, when we get ready to read this, I'm going to read the introduction first, just because it's so cool what was happening. We don't know exactly when David wrote this psalm. We don't know, because he says in it, the day that the Lord delivered me from the hand of all my enemies. So we don't know if this was early on or late. I believe it was later on in life, after David had been king for some time. But think about David's life, and this is King David that we're talking about. Think about his life as he, a little teenage boy, goes out and defeats the Philistines' great champion, Goliath. Well, think Goliath's family was very happy about that. He was a wanted young man from early on. Then he's anointed as the next king after Saul, and Saul doesn't like that. So Saul's after him. Saul's armies are after David. Goliath's family, they're after David. Then he becomes king. Every nation wants Israel. They're all after David. Now his own family is coming after David. He needed a guy. He needed a king. He needed a God that could deliver and protect him from all of these different foes. And I believe as he wrote this psalm, it was later on when he could reflect back at all that God had done, not just Saul or Goliath's family or whatever. All right, that's what's going on. I'm going to read Psalm 18, but I'm going to read the introduction first. Then we'll read the first three verses. This is so cool. For the choir director of the servant of the Lord, David, who spoke the words of this song to the Lord on the day the Lord rescued him from the grasp of all his enemies and from the power of Saul, he said, now verse 1, I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my rock where I seek refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I called to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I was saved from my enemies. Pray with me. Oh, most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we bow our heads in humble recognition of who you are, of what you've done for us, and just your glory. Lord, we praise you and thank you for all that you have done. We thank you for your word, your inerrant, holy, perfect word to us. Lord, I thank you for this message that you've given to me from your word. And Lord, I pray now that you will open up each of our hearts and minds to better understand who you are and what you've done, and then what it is that we can do for you. So Lord, move among us this day, and may you be glorified. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And the whole church said, amen. The idea behind today's message is that everybody needs to understand that we have a source for life's needs. All of us have a guy right there waiting for us. The first thing that our God, our source, gives us is strength. The second part of verse 1, he says, Lord, my strength. We could say, Lord, you are my strength, as he is clearly praising God as he says these words. He's not speaking them to us, he's speaking them to God. God, you are my strength. Now, I have got a good friend, that really strong guy. He has been a hard physical labor worker all of his life. And he says to me lately, over the last couple of years, all the time, as he's abused his body for decades and decades, he says, man, I'm just not as strong as I used to be. Anything, he could just grab it and move it and do whatever. And he's noticing as he ages, he's not quite as strong as he used to be. It's really starting to affect him and bother him a little bit. With age, I'm sure this will be a great amen point, with age, we get less strong. Thank you, Miss Nancy. I teed up a softball for you and ready to go on the amen. She's been wanting to know, how do I amen you? I'm from a Lutheran background. I don't know how to amen. I'm like, don't overthink it. Just let it come out. Just say it. So we'll keep working on that. All right. With age, we have less physical strength. We might miss it, but you know what? We're relegated to it. It's okay. That's just the way it is. Now, I had a neighbor years ago, a neighbor that's like, I mean, semi-professional bodybuilder. This guy lives at the gym. He eats shakes and big cans of protein, and he lives at the gym. That's what he, I guess, enjoys doing. The dude is incredible, amazingly strong. And yet he would share with me almost every week his broken family, his difficult relationships, and ask me guidance and opinion and help for all of life's needs. He was very physically strong, but he had no other source of spiritual strength. We might miss the physical strength as we age, but that's okay. Physical strength is necessary, but even better is spiritual strength. We'll even call it maturity, maturing and growing in the Lord. One of my favorite Bible passages, if you take notes, this is such a good one to memorize and write down. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Oh, is this a good one? Jesus and Paul are having a conversation, and it's where Paul was pleading to get the thorn taken away, the thorn in his side. This is so cool. Jesus responds to Paul, and he says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." That's what Jesus said. Then Paul responds and he says, "Therefore, I will brag about my weakness that the power of Christ can reside in me." Just let that one sink in for a moment. Jesus says, "My grace is sufficient for any need that you come across, because my strength, it's actually perfected when you are weak. Because when you are weak, you're actually strong in your relationship with the Lord." Now, David is writing this psalm, and I mean, David had it all. He had it all together. He was blessed by God before birth. David was born and grew up handsome and good-looking and physically perfect in appearance. He is powerful and wise. He's a great warrior, very successful king, leading armies. No one could touch David. And David's writing this. You see, David had every right to be cocky. He had every right to be arrogant. But he was humble. David was humble, and he was thankful for God for all the things that God had done for him, that how God had richly blessed David. David didn't say, "Man, look at me, and look at all the things that I've done and how I've got it all together." He constantly and continually praised and worshiped God. David knew well where his source of strength came from. Now, I know that we live in a day and an age when, man, things are weird, to say the least. Things are upside down and backwards, and clearly wrong is right now and right is wrong. Life is upside down and seems difficult. And we need strength to endure these days that we are dealing with. The strength that we really need doesn't come from dumbbells or kettlebells or barbells or doorbells or anything else. You got it. The strength that we really need comes from the living God of the universe. The strength that we really need to survive whatever we face comes from an intimate, personal, living relationship with the God of all gods. He's our source for strength. He's also our source for stability. Verse 2, he says, get this, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my rock, where I seek refuge, my shield." And then we drop down to the last couple words in verse 2, my stronghold. Again, David is clearly telling us that our God is a source of stability in our lives. Oops, I'm sorry. Just my rock. Forget everything I just read. The Lord is my rock. Sorry, that's the next one. My rock. He's our source of stability. Like strength that we lose with age. Man, have you noticed our balance isn't exactly improving with age either? We need a little more balance. We need more strength. With all that, my mother's had both knees and both hips replaced, and she'll have her 82nd birthday in a month and a half. And she likes using a cane now for some strength and some stability. Let me tell you, the world seems like it's in motion right now. Like, can you get your bearings? Do you know which way's up and which way's down and what's coming at you next? Doesn't it seem like everything is just fluid and it's hard to feel solid and secure? We're definitely seeing sinking sand all around us. And Mom, after these surgeries, she started using a cane. She enjoys using a cane because it makes her feel more stable. It makes her feel more in control. And it does. It helps her, that third point of contact, stairs and different things. She can't really trust her hips and her knees and all of that. So the cane makes a big difference. Canes clearly are good. Some of us use them in here. Canes are great, but even better is the Lord. The Lord as our source of stability. Cain's great, Lord is even better. If you listen to the world, everything around us, the world says a lot of different things, especially today, but has for many, many years. The world says things like, trust your job, get a good job, make more money, and your life is going to be better. You're going to have a source of stability because you can surely trust your job. The world says things like, trust your friends. Your friends will always be there. Trust your family. Nothing is thicker than blood. Trust your family. They will help you get through when times are tough. The world says, trust your 401ks. Trust your retirement plans. Get this one. If you thought that one was funny, the world says, trust the government. Because the government will meet your needs. The government will take care of you. Just get together, vote a better person in, and your life will be better. All these problems will be taken care of. The world says, trust the government. The world will even say things like, you know what? You can't trust any of those things. Trust yourself. Trust yourself because you are the only one that can get you through this difficult time. Jesus talked about this, and he said, all of that stuff is sinking sand. All of that stuff is here today and gone tomorrow. Rusts and moths eat it up. It's really not that important because you're only here for a little while. Jesus talked about that and he addressed that and he said you should build your life not upon the sand but upon the rock. The same rock that David is talking about and calling God here in this passage. Build our life on the stability of an intimate, affectionate, personal relationship with the Lord of Lords, with the King of all kings. No matter the situation that you're in, no matter what's going on around us, recognize that God is sovereign and that God is in control. Sovereign just means that God is all-knowing and He is all-powerful and He is in control ultimately. Temporarily, He's allowing sin to run its course on the earth so that we see the need for a Savior. But God is sovereign. He is in control. We love to quote Romans 8:28. It says, God works together all things for good for those that love Him and are called according to His purpose. Remember, every word of God's word is true. Every word, it's all or nothing, and that's true. God works even the bad things together for good, especially those that love Him. God's our source of strength. He's also our source of stability. He is the rock that is constant, never changing, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow forevermore. God is also our source of safety. Now we pick back up where we left off a few moments ago. The Lord is my rock, in verse 2, my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock again. He repeated that. I think he was serious. Where I seek refuge, my shield, drop down my stronghold. God is clearly our source of safety. Safety in times of worry and trouble and need. He says things like, God, you are my fortress. You are my rock multiple times. You are my refuge. You are my shield and my stronghold. You are the place where I can seek refuge when all my enemies, the world, are coming at me. My enemies, my friends, my king, my family, when everyone I thought I could trust are chasing me down, you're the one place I can go to and seek safety, says David. The bottom line for you and I, what we have to know is all the strength in the world isn't enough. It's useless without some source of protection. Look at General George Custer, if you've ever heard of him. He commanded the 7th Cavalry. He had 750 soldiers under his command. General Custer had 40 Arikara Native American scouts. General Custer had 3 companies of infantry, 1 platoon of Gatling guns. They had wagons upon wagons full of all the supplies they needed. The soldiers carried 45 70 caliber government rifles and 45 caliber Colt pistols. They had all the ammunition that they could possibly carry with all these wagons, all the strength, all the power. General Custer had lots of firepower, and he had lots of strength. The problem that the 7th Cavalry had was they didn't have a fortress. They didn't have a stronghold in which to hide, and we know how that story turned out. David was strong physically. He was handsome in appearance. He was powerful. David was a great warrior, a great leader, a great king, but he was also humble. Remember, God's word says so many times, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. David had all these attributes, all these worldly good things, but he was also humble because he knew very well where his source was in the living God. He knew that he was not the one that was in control, and that time after time, God had protected him, and he trusted God to continue protecting him no matter the circumstances. I'm sure if you're like me, many of us have 20/20 hindsight. We can look back so well backwards and see God's mighty hand of protection on us. We can look back when we were late teenagers and early 20s and how God spared us from some of the stupid things that we did. If that's you right now, don't do stupid things. Don't do those stupid things. Just say no. But we can look back and see God's protection and provision all along. Isn't it so easy to look back and see what God has done? I want to encourage us to look right now and see what God is doing. Easier looking back, look at the blessings right now. David knew that God had richly blessed and cared for and provided and protected him throughout his life. Never forget that God is our guy. He's our source for strength and stability and safety. He's also our source of salvation. Verse 2, kind of that last part. Well, I'm just going to read all verse 2 because it's so good. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my rock, where I seek refuge, my shield, get this, and the horn of my salvation. We look at verse 3. I called to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I was saved from my enemies. God is our guy when it comes to salvation. And that word horn is a cool word. It's an interesting word. It's just simply a symbol of power. a symbol of strength. They knew the horn. The horn would blow. It terrified the enemies. The horn was a sign of strength. And David was saying, God, you are the strength and power behind my salvation, behind my deliverance. And David cried out to the Lord. I love verse 3. I called to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I was saved from my enemies. David cried out to the Lord. This king, this powerful, good-looking warrior and leader is dependent upon something else for his salvation, and it's the living God of the universe. He cried out to the Lord, and he was saved from his enemies. David was, he died of old age. He was delivered from all those that wanted to take his life. Saul was probably pretty scary with all of his army, and all the nations coming against them were intimidating and scary. But imagine a family of giants coming after you because you stuck a rock in their brother or son's forehead. David called out to the Lord, and he was saved from all of his enemies. And that's true and awesome, but my guess is there aren't many of you in here that have people with swords or spears coming after you. No one has called me and said, Pastor, pray for me because I've got these people coming after me with swords and spears. No one's called me and said that. So I'm guessing most of you probably don't have nations coming after you, or giants 9 feet. If there's giants coming after you, call the deacons. But I'm guessing most of us can't really relate to that, and that's okay, because as dangerous as enemies are, and swords and spears and giants, we have a worse problem in our lives, and it's called sin. It's called sin, rebellion against God and His absolute perfect ways. And see, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but it says the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, we have a source of salvation, maybe not from warring nations, but from an even worse problem. We have salvation from our sin. The Bible says that anyone that calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved, just like David called upon the Lord because he had a heart for the Lord and he trusted the Lord as his guy for whatever the need was. All of us are in danger of an even worse enemy, sin and its terrible consequences, which are death. And we have salvation in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we could ever be saved but the name of Jesus. The cool story about Jesus is that he always was and always will be God. But God, the Son, left the glory of heaven and came to earth, and he was born of a virgin. And this God's Son lived an absolute perfect life, sinless in every way. Jesus not only lived a sinless life, but he fulfilled and completed the law and all of the requirements God had laid out for humanity, for us. The stuff that we don't do, Jesus did for us. And at the right moment in history, Jesus went to the cross. And there on the cross, Jesus gave his life as the Lamb of God, the once and for all final sacrifice to pay our sin debt. The wages of sin is death. Jesus died. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, because the cool thing about Jesus was not only did he die, but he didn't stay dead. He was resurrected from the dead back to life, and in so doing, in the resurrection, he defeated sin and death and hell and all of its consequences for anyone that will by faith receive his gift of grace. It's amazing. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. David was saved from his enemies. We are saved from sin by calling upon the name of the Lord. We've learned over weeks and weeks, honestly over years, that we have a source. Man, we have a guy. We have the guy of all guys for anything that we need, anything that life would try to throw at us. And I know our human nature is like, wow, that's awesome. But what's it cost? What does it cost me personally to have this guy in my speed dial on my phone? What does it cost? What do I have to do? How do I respond to God? Well, the amazing and crazy cool thing about God is you really don't have to do anything. But I love David's response. I love David's response. Back up at verse 1. The first words in this psalm, he says, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord, because you are my, and then all the things that we just talked about. Oh God, I love you. It's so simple. Isn't that just so simple? It's so deep. The true realization of who our God is drives us to respond with love. The kids and their awesome questions. They said, God, what, or Dad, why did God create humans? And ultimately, it's for His glorification, His worship, so that we would love Him. That's why we're created. And David says it right here so clearly. He says, I love you, God. I love you, Lord. I love that. After we think about and realize who our God is and what our God has done for us, we love Him. That's the response. Love Him. And the word that David uses here in the Hebrew, it's a word that's not used very often for love. It's a deep word that shows great deep love and intimate affection for God. I love that. Think about that. When we think about God, this source, this guy that we have, the one thing we can really give Him back is all of our heart, all of our love. That's what we do for Him. When we love God with all of our heart and all of our soul, all of our strength and all of our mind, it leads to genuine worship. Genuine, authentic worship. It leads to loving God, and that spills out into the rest of our life and leads us to love others. Love God with everything that we have and love others. My prayer for us, Ledge Rock, is that we would love God like this. Love God like David. Love God with all of our heart, with all that we have, and then let that love spill out in this congregation, in our church family. Let that love spill out into our community, our state, our country. Let that love spill out all across the world. That's my prayer for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being our source. Lord, thank you for being our guy that we can turn to and trust in at all times, no matter what. Lord, we praise you and thank you for being the source of what we truly need. Lord, we worship you for that. We love you for that. And I pray for each one of us to reflect on your words today and fall in deeper love with you, because you are worthy. You are worthy of all that we have. Father, we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.